Isaiah 55, I want to share a few thoughts with you along the line of missions. Again, tonight, as we're perhaps maybe and focus that on the next couple of weeks, we are determining as a church on what we're going to do about reaching this world with Christ. The people that God is calling us to. Obviously, we cannot reach everyone. But this is what I believe. God has a group or groups, cities, towns that He wants this church to reach. He will send the missionaries that He's has sent this way. He wants us to partner with them. And we are currently partnering with them. I have a couple missionary letters here. The CPEC family in Guyana, South America. Well, a wonderful update here. They just had their VBS back in July. They had 110 kids that came to the VBS, and they had 22 that accepted Christ as their Savior. What a joy. Amen. What a blessing as you read these prayer letters. And then there was another teen conference where there were 27 teenagers that were saved. And they're just doing a great work there. And that's in South America. And then we just, if you go through each of the prayer letters, there are some wonderful reports that are coming out. I call them victory reports. That's what they are. But they also do share burdens and prayer requests that we think upon. But God has got His hand on our church. And He's wanting to use us more and more. Notice in Isaiah 55, notice that word there, H-O. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. I just want to preach a shorter message tonight, but I want us to look at the message of Isaiah 55, that it is a message to all the world. That word H-O there is a word of great attention, of seeking to grasp the attention of a lost world. God Himself, especially to the Gentile world, in this context, the Jews were continually rejecting and turning from God, and God's turning to the Gentiles. And what a tremendous blessing that is. But then it's going to reverse again, by the way. Do you know when it comes to the millennial reign, it'll be once again the Jews reaching the Gentiles. It's amazing how God's plan is going to work. Right now, we have the church, the Gentile church, which is made up of Jews and Gentiles. But the church is taking this message of Isaiah 55 to a lost world. Would you pray with me, Lord? In these next few moments, would you again help us? Help us to see the wonderful privilege it is, the great honor it is to reach, Lord, to go, to evangelize, to disciple, to plant churches, and to send missionaries, to support missionaries. Help our church, Lord, to do our part by Your grace and for Your glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, we see here in this context, it is a invitation for everyone that what? Is what? What does it say right there in verse 1? Everyone that is thirsty. Everyone that is thirsty. It is an open invitation to all. Listen, the only people that will be saved are the people that will respond to the message of salvation. Because you have to, the will there, and everyone has a choice of the will. And the Bible teaches us that God died for every sinner, but not all will respond, but we're to go reach all those ones that will respond. And that's why I believe, as I think upon missions and our missions program, I'm thankful that our missionaries are going and giving this message right here, that listen, it doesn't matter if you don't have any money. Isn't that a wonderful message? You don't have to have money. In fact, it wouldn't do you any good if you had a bunch of it to be saved. The money does no good when it comes to trusting in Jesus as Savior. You know, on the mission field especially, but even in the States, sometimes you go to certain parts of the world and a person really believes that they have to be able to do something to earn that salvation. They really have to believe they earn it. They give, their alms. I talked about almsgiving this morning, but they do that in order to be saved. They think that is some kind of security. Well, the message that we give, oh no, you can't buy it, friend. You can come as you are, just bring your thirst. If you want peace in your heart, you want the glorious hope of being forgiven of your sin, this is the message. This is the message. Come. And it says, come ye, buy and eat, and ye come, buy wine and milk without money. Just come and receive it, and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. What a wonderful message of salvation that God, Jesus, truly satisfies. Amen? I mean, we just don't say that as cliche. We don't say that just to be mechanical. I'm telling you, folks, when we have Jesus, we are satisfied. And this rest of this world that we are seeking to reach is looking for a satisfaction. I love that song that talks about the satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I think upon this, I think upon even my own life, even up to the age of 21. I just was looking for everything to satisfy. Nothing was like this verse is saying, why are you looking in all these other areas? Look no further than the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says here. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. I believe this gives reference to even the Davidic covenant that God has made with Israel and David. But I also believe that it refers to the eternal salvation covenant to all those that will believe. To all those that will be saved. Behold, verse 4, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. And behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Speaking of a message, even from the nation of Israel, a message of salvation, which will come in the millennial reign. But folks, right now, we're in the church age, and this applies to us in reaching the lost world now. Now's our time, because it says here, notice, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Can we say, folks, this is a call of urgency. We're not just kidding here. We're not playing games. This is not just to be colorful in our sanctuary. It's not just to go through a program and whatever you ever want to describe it. No, this is an urgent plea and call to a world that we want to reach. That's why we give faithfully and sacrificially. That's why we want to grow in our prayer life and praying for souls and praying for missionaries, praying for the conviction of God to come upon them. Because listen, there's going to be a time where they can't be saved. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And I believe that everywhere a missionary goes, I believe the light of the gospel is shining to people. It is a witness. An opportunity for them to be saved. And I know that's the message of these missionaries. Call on the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Listen to this message of love that we give in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's our message. A message of mercy and forgiveness that God desires to give. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. You know why he says that? Because I believe a lot of times, and it was true with the Jews, and I'm afraid to say that sometimes it's true with the Gentiles. Sometimes we get mad at the mercy God shows to wicked people. And we don't need to be guilty of that. we may not agree with what God is doing and the way He, the people He's reaching, even the way that they're acting. He has a love for them, and we may not understand it, but I tell you right now, God is so rich in mercy, it's beyond our comprehension. It exceeds it greatly. And I believe God is seeking to save Muslims and Buddhists and Catholics that aren't born again and just atheists, you name it. Mormons, I just can't stop thinking about Utah Valley. I just can't. We went there this summer, and then we even, you know, the 2 months later after being there, the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I just can't imagine. I can't get that out of my mind. All the 90% of that valley, hundreds of thousands of people are Mormons, and they need to be saved. And I'm thankful we have a family like we can support through our Faith Promise Missions, Mike and Sharon Keller, that are proclaiming the gospel. They're giving them the gospel. They're showing them, hey, turn from your wicked ways. Forsake this religion. Forsake this false religion that it's empty and it's just the tradition of your fathers. Be saved. That's what we're doing. We're reaching them. Notice verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. It doesn't always make sense the way God is working. Sometimes He brings tragedy in order to bring people to Christ. As tragic as it was for the assassination of Charlie Kirk, many multitudes, I'm sure, multitudes of thousands have been saved. I think of even natural disasters that sometimes will sweep through our own country and perhaps a foreign land, and how God will use that many times to bring people to Himself. We don't understand how all that works, but God's ways are so much higher. We are limited, but we know He's got a plan, and we know it's working. Notice verse 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. What is that speaking of? It's talking about the water cycle. Some of you that love science in here and earth science, you could explain this a lot better than I could. But basically, it's never wasted. The water that comes down, it accomplishes what it's intended to do. And as the rain and snow come down, that's exactly what God is talking about, and because He explains it in verse 11. He says, just like the water cycle, just like the water and snow are going to replenish the earth, and it's not going to be wasted, He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Oh, praise God! Isn't that encouraging, church? That as I think upon these missionaries and our own gospel ministry to the Oaks and to Potter's House and to Good News Club, and as we go out and speak to people in our community and as we invite them, whatever we can do, I'm thankful that when we give the Word of God, we can rest assured it's not in vain. It's not in vain. God's doing a work. Isn't that what the verse says? When every time you give a gospel track out, I don't have my tracks on me. Every time we give a gospel track out, every time we share a verse or whatever we do in encouraging people, God is going to use it. Just like He uses the rain and snow that comes from heaven. It accomplishes exactly what God has intended it for. It's to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. You know that it's going to accomplish. You know what that tells me? And this is what's beautiful, folks. Do you know when it comes to the gospel ministry and missions, God is doing just as much of work in you and me as He is to the people we're reaching. Seed to the sower, bread to the eater. So when we're here praying about our faith promise and we're growing in our desire to know them better and to support them better and to do our evangelization work here in our area, God is doing just as much work in your life as He is to the people we're reaching. Now, we're saved. We don't have to get saved over again. But there's a work of revival going on. Hey, if you've been serious this past couple of weeks, you've probably spent more time praying about your faith promise offering. And Lord, what would you have me do? And we consider missions more. We just get more serious about it. And that's a good thing. That's why we have missions conference. Because if not, we get lukewarm. We kind of forget about it. And stuff gets buried on top of it. The busyness of life. I'm not saying everybody's intentionally, no one's here is intentionally being evil. But we need a stirring. And when the Word of God is being preached and taught, and missions is being emphasized, this is what is happening. I'm grateful that I can believe these missionaries that are truly preaching the gospel, God is going to fulfill His promise. Let's just pray that they are preaching the gospel. I believe they are. We try to have a vetting system, just a screening system, if you will. We have an application that the missionary being considered, he has to fill out, has to give his goals, short-term goals, long-term goals, how much they need to support, where they'll be living, what language would they be working in, what city are they working in. We try to keep involved and in tune with what's happening. We're not just saying, oh, sure, we'll support you. The missions committee, a lot of times we'll look at a family, and now that we have our deacons are making that final decision. Okay, do we want to support men that are filled with the Holy Ghost and that the church is voted in for leadership in that area? We say, okay, I believe our church can get behind this family. I believe we can support this. And I think that's great. And when we do, praise the Lord, when we go to places like Ghana, I think of the brother there, and I never can pronounce his name. Somebody help me. The brother in Akuako. Thank you. Brother Daniel and Rachel Akuako. That's their flag right there with the red, yellow, green, and black star. I'm right on that, I believe. That's Ghana, I'm pretty sure. But you know, I think about that. And also I think of Hong Kong. That's the red flag with the little white stars around it. You know, the Herbster family is there. The Melton family in Japan, over 126 million souls, less than 1% are Christian. But I think of that dear brother, Brother Melton there in Japan, proclaiming the gospel. There are some missionaries, I'm looking at a flag right now, I can't say it because I think we're live stream right now. But they're serving God in places where not many people are going. And the Word of God is like snow and rain going in through each of those places because of a group of people like here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church says, God, use us. We want to help these people. Do you remember the saying that it helped me? Brother Bowman repeated it several times. Missions is taking the gospel where we are, Jackson County, Athens, Clark County. And then he said, for missions is sending it where we cannot go. It is taking it where we are and where we can be, and it's sending it where we cannot go. Not everybody can go to these places. I think of the Precious Shore family in Scotland, a place that used to be a missionary launching country. I mean, great preachers of the past. Wow. I think of even David Livingston, that great famous missionary that we'll quote often. Where is he from? Scotland. And now Scotland's just a vast land of dead churches that are the people that are just they're just humanistic and totally secular in their thinking. And it's just what churches and buildings are turning into. It's so sad. But I'm thankful we got a light there. I'm thankful for the Shore family. Notice verse 12. It says, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. We know it's talking about the millennial reign, how God's going to totally reconstruct this world. It's going to be remade. It's going to be made anew again. But folks, can I encourage you? I believe we can make application today, because this is what happens internally to someone that gets saved. This is what happens to a life. How many of you here can say, my life's been changed by the gospel? Everybody. You become a new creature. And there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents and turns to Christ. And there ought to be joy in the local church. When we read these victory reports, I know some of it's personality, but man, I just think there ought to be a celebration. Just a singing, a clapping, a praise God, because it's going to be in the millennial reign. It says even the trees are going to be clapping together. I love that imagery. I mean, there's just a rejoicing. And so we only got a short time to do it, folks. I don't know how much longer we got. I don't know how much we have as individuals before God calls us home. And I don't know how much time we got before the Lord returns. But I want to tell you, I do believe there's a sense of urgency. Let's be at the Lord's business while we can. Because I believe at the end of this life, I don't believe for one moment, somebody can correct me if you think I'm wrong. I know we got to just be led by the Holy Spirit, but I don't think we're going to stand before the Lord one day and regret that we perhaps gave too much to missions. Too much to reach people around us. No, I believe it's going to be the other way. At least in my own life. But I believe that we can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit even now and ask God to lead us.